Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier. It is Friday, and it is a good day. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. I want to share a prayer with you this morning for those of you that are with us from the beginning of the broadcast, and I pray that this prayer will be a blessing to you. You may want to say it out loud wherever you are. I believe it's anointed by the Holy Spirit, and it may be a really good prayer for right now for you, your family, your loved ones. And so let's say this prayer together, if you don't mind, and we'll get into some of the realities of what's going on around the world right now. So here's our prayer to start the day, and it begins this way. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind, I rebuke every spirit of deception, of lies, and of Satan. I pull down every stronghold. I rebuke every strategy of the enemy against my life. Okay, if you're going to say that, I'm going to pause a little bit because I want you to get this prayer in your spirit today. I condemn the work of Satan against my life. In Jesus' name, I rebuke with all authority every demon, every principality, every power that has strategized against my life. I rebuke every generational curse. Wherever I've been blindsided, I loose the light of Christ to expose the hidden works of the enemy, the hidden snares, the hidden traps, the lies, in Jesus' name. I call now my spirit to awaken, to arise in the power of the resurrection, in Jesus' name. I command my conscience to be filled with light and glory, in Jesus' name. Satan, you will toy with me no more, for this is no game. My life has been purchased with the all-powerful blood of the Messiah, Yahshua, Jesus Christ. And I command you to stand down, to stand back, to depart in Jesus' name. I rebuke your accusation, your slander against my life. Now go into dry places, never to return again. I demolish by the anointing every work that you have built up in my life, against my life. I command it to come tumbling down now, to crumble to the ground. Get out. Every disease, every word, every curse that you have spoken, from cancer to diabetes to other sicknesses, whatever has been spoken must bow to Jesus Christ now. Hallelujah. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I destroy the works of the devil through the anointing that has already destroyed his works. I destroy that which has been seeking to destroy me. I destroy the works of the devil right now. I send them into confusion. I send them back to where they came from. In Jesus' name, I am not afraid of sin, of sickness, of the reports of the world. I am the delivered. I am the redeemed. I am the healed. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises in judgment against my life, I condemn. I walk in the prosperity of the kingdom of God, and by his stripes, I am healed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's how we're going to begin our broadcast on this Friday in prayer. A prayer for God's people to be fully equipped, fully armed, and fully armored with the armor of God. Because the stand that we are going to take is going to necessitate having the full equipping, being prepared for every battle. I received an email today from a gentleman and wrote this, just kind of came out of nowhere. And here's what he said. He said, 5G, you know, the 5G towers. He said, 5G is Corona. He said, the second I got to Bentonville, I got chest pains and started coughing. I pull out my radiation scanner and it's at extremely toxic levels. I think they're only turning the poison radiation on at night. I'll have to go to the same spot during the day. It's government agenda. There is no virus. It's poisoning. I pulled out my phone to record last second, but it had huge readings for 1 to 2 blocks. At any moment, they can increase the strength and people will start dying and they will tell you it's Corona. They set up 5G towers next to hospitals and schools on purpose so that people in close quarters get sick and they can make it look like a sickness is spreading so they can issue house arrest and take our rights away. This is given with a picture of a gentleman. You see the picture here. And he had a Geiger counter. He had a radiation. I have one as well. And he said it was reading at very high toxic levels. That what's really happening is the 5G towers that now AT&T and Verizon and all the others here are they're now starting to boast the 5G tower reality. You notice, while that's all going on, how the DNC, I don't know if you peeked at it or not. We looked at it, got sick to our stomachs, and then went to bed after we got rid of all that nonsense. But you notice that the DNC, the Democratic National Convention, where last night Joe Biden received his nomination to be the president of the United States to run for that office, right? How they politicized, which we knew they were going to do, they politicized coronavirus. The president didn't handle it well. The president didn't defend the country. Folks, I got to tell you, I've searched my heart. I'm checking it. I'm to speak evil of no man, even though Jesus spoke of the Pharisees, the scribes and hypocrites, scorpions, snakes and vipers, children of the devil. Listen, the deception coming out of the DNC with Barack Hussein Obama, Michelle Obama, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, the Indian reservation who went off the red. Oh, Elizabeth Warren. Peter Buttigieg. Oh, yeah, Peter, talking about his ring and how he was married and his husband supported him through the whole process of running for president. Peter Buttigieg, who praised Biden for allowing for his marriage to take place to his husband. Oh, my God. Right? Right? So now we're listening to the DNC and Donald Trump. He's bad. He did coronavirus. Your kids are going to go back to school and they're going to get sick. And we got to put masks on for 90 days and do what we should have done at the beginning because we lassoed him with a virus. And they politicized this whole thing. I mean, it's so demented. It is so sick. It is so twisted. It is Leviathan in motion. It is Jezebel in motion. It is Lucifer. It is satanic. It is ugly. It is absolutely wretched. But this is what is being fed. And what's really crazy, really sick, is that Fox News, Fox Business News, they're all playing it for the world to see. And then when it's over, they get on there, these Fox News reporters like Bret Baier and all the rest of them. And the black man who's on the Five, I forget his name right now, nice guy. But they're all raving about this incredible speech that Joe Biden gave last night. What an incredible speech. He was live and he was fluid and he was energetic. And wow, people like, what's Fox News doing? What's going on? It's so hypocritical. It's so demonic. And believe me, I'm not into politics. I just kind of am here and I'm going to vote one way or the other because I'm going to do that anyways. So I'm watching. And I'm listening to what the president is saying. I'm listening to what they're saying. These people that love full-term abortion, let's kill the babies when they're 9 months out of the womb, put them on the table. Mrs. Jones, do you want your baby? No, I don't really want them. Okay, let's kill them. And let's take all their juices and put it in a formula, and we'll put it into our body so we can live longer. These sick, twisted, vile. Okay, I got to be careful. Let me just go say it this way. These same people that love full-term abortion, bloodshed, innocent blood, Peter Buttigieg made it very clear that he was so happy that he and his husband were helped by Joe Biden. Joe Biden, whose son was so corrupt in the Ukraine. Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Joe Biden. Who's Joe Biden? I had a dream 11 months ago. You heard me say it 30 times. I had a dream. Joe Biden won, but there was something deadly wrong. I dreamt it. Same thing. Okay. What's going on? What's happening, saints? What's happening, church? What's happening, people of this country? The constant barrage and then Colin Powell and the Republicans getting behind Joe. Joe and Jill, Jack and Jill would have been better. Ran up a hill, the Capitol Hill, to fetch a pail of water. They've been fetching pails of water since the beginning. But anyways, let's go on. Something's deadly wrong. Meanwhile, out in the Pacific, or is it the Atlantic? I think it's the Atlantic. Thank you. Two hurricanes are on their way to Florida. Okay, we'll see where that all goes. We don't know. Meanwhile, it just is the unending, never-ending violence in Portland, violence, and guess what, folks? The left is using all of it to their advantage. They actually were willing to kill people and tell them the greatest hoax, the greatest lie since John F. Kennedy, his assassination, the liars, the deceivers, which is not a big deal to them. They've been lying for so long, they are a lie. They are like Satan. There is no truth in him. Patricia wrote in her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, if you wrung this demon out like a dish towel, you'd find not a drop of truth. They are liars. The father of lies has so possessed them, they lie about everything. And we know that you could have 99% truth and just inject a little bit of poison and it'll kill you. You don't need the whole dose of the skull and bones, right? You just need a little bit. You mixed in with something, it'll kill you. And right now, our nation is dying because of the lies that are being perpetrated upon it. Lies, filthy lies, demonic lies. They're liars. They're all liars. They're all liars. Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the way of life. And if you don't know the word of God, you'll be deceived by everything going on. You got to know the truth. You have to have discernment, a gift of the Holy Spirit. And it was so, my goodness, when church pastors and leaders came to the pulpit and said, Holy Spirit gifting isn't for the church today. There's no gifts of the Spirit. Well, what a great satanic work, because one of the gifts of the Spirit is discernment. Oh, but we don't have that anymore, because God forbid anybody prays in tongues and interprets tongues. We don't want the gifts of the Spirit. Come on, folks. We need the gifts of the Spirit. We need the gift of the Holy Spirit to operate, administrate, manifest as He wills. If you don't have discernment, you're gonna fall for this stuff. You're going to start feeling the music. The vibe is going to get into you. Oh, we're going to save the soul of America, they say on the left. This is a battle for the soul of America. The soul of America that you absolutely plundered and daggered with your filth and corruption. You're battling for the soul, you globalist. Okay, I got to stop. So let me just say it. That's their agenda. Joe's going to win America from the clutches of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is killing the soul of America. We've got to stop him. And Joe says, I knew I had to run. I knew I had to run to save America from Donald Trump. You filthy liars. That is so wretched. You're playing a play like, who was it? Romeo and Juliet. Oh, Romeo, Romeo. I mean, Joe is playing the role, man. They pumped him up with some cocaine or something to give him the energy, make him think straight for 30 minutes, if even that. And whatever the case was, he's out there. We got to save the soul of America while promoting everything that destroys a soul. Promoting everything that destroys a soul. You got to sit back and wonder, man, this is crazy. And so the idea is to get many people to turn away, man, just shut the nonsense down, and then build up the people that are being used to create the environment and get them to vote. Get 45, I don't know, the number seemed a little bit large, but someone said 45 million evangelical Christians didn't vote? Yeah, get everybody tuning out. Don't want to hear it. Tune out. So, it's all demonic. It's all wicked. It's evil. But these people gave themselves over to it. Their bodies will be cast into eternal hell with their souls. They will go into the lake of fire. When they breathe their last death, they're going to die. The maggots are going to eat their flesh. Their worm is never going to die because they gave themselves over. And this is way beyond an election, by the way. This is way beyond an election. This is the demonic serpent taking over. I mean, I don't understand how Joe Biden could sing the tune of I'm here to save the soul of America while promoting things that destroy a soul. How do you do that? And the people listen. I mean, everybody in Hollywood, woohoo, we got to save America from Donald Trump. Let's bring Barack Obama back. Let's bring Tlaib back, Sherita Tlaib. Let's bring Ilhan Omar into the equation, or Ocasio-Cortez. Let's bring Alexandria back or bring them in. Let's bring Bernie Sanders in. These are the saviors of America. They're going to save the soul of America. Really? Really? See, really? Mamma mia. I'm so glad it's Friday. I've got a great story for you today. But you know, before I go anywhere, I've got a message here. You know, I figure why sit and watch the news and yell at them, which I did last night. I said, you filthy liars. Why do that and not really just kind of show you what I'm feeling and forget about our feelings, right? How come so many people are sucking this stuff up? What kind of a human being would gravitate towards such guttural hypocrisy, deception, feed on it, and regurgitate it, and speak it out? Listen, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not the smartest man, obviously. I'm not an expert at anything. I just am a Christian. I read my Bible. I love Jesus Christ. I love my Father in heaven. I love the Holy Spirit like you do. And you judge a tree by its fruit, right? That's how you do it. I walk up to a tree. I'm not a smart guy. But if I see an apple on the tree, I say that's an apple tree. If I see an orange on the tree, I say that's an orange tree, right? Right? That's what you do, right? That's how it works. If I see an avocado on a tree, that's an avocado tree. So, you know a tree by its fruit. When I look at people, if I hear them swearing and cursing and GDing, and if I hear that they're telling filthy, don't call yourself a Christian. Okay? Don't call yourself a Christian. If you're swearing, cursing, lying, smoking, drinking, watching pornography, having sex, committing adultery, no, oh, I don't care what you call yourself. That could be an orange on the tree, but all of a sudden somebody tells you, hey, that's an apple tree with those oranges on it. Really? How does that work? And if you listen long enough, they'll convince you that that orange tree is actually an apple tree, right? You judge a tree by its fruit. So I watch Donald Trump. I listen to Donald Trump, and I hear him with his moxie and his guts, and he speaks, and he does his thing. And yes, he's got a pass. Of course, he's got a pass. But what is he doing? What is the tree doing? Well, he put nearly 300 federal judges on the courts throughout the nation that are more conservative in their nature and in their character and in their calling, in their conduct. More, you know, nobody's perfect out there, right? But he's doing that. He puts into the Supreme Court of the United States of America two conservative judges, Neil Gorsuch, Kavanaugh. There, you know, there's a little issues going on, and only God knows what's going up there, but it seemed to be the right thing to do. And there's a conversation behind that also. I get that. I didn't hear anybody else talking about, but let me just hesitate. So then I hear he doesn't want the abortions anymore. He actually came against Cuomo and the other de Blasio when they were doing this nonsense and the full blood red wolf moon. Remember that? And they wanted this. And Trump came against it. after they murdered Scalise, right? The Supreme Court justice that Barack Obama had assassinated, and they took him out because they thought Hillary was going to win and they were going to put their people in there. And that was all getting lined up, right? So there's something got in the way of the machine, okay? And that was Donald Trump. And I look at his fruit and I say, oh, he's against NAFTA. He's against globalism. He's against all these things. He wants to be a president of the United States, not a president of the world. He wants to do business, but he wants to do it on terms where the nation's not getting ripped off. And so he's going about his business. He's doing what he's doing. And I just keep, the list goes on and on. The list goes on and on. And so I'm looking at the tree. I'm looking at the fruit. I'm not looking at what they're pointing and their character assassination because he used to be a multi, you know, you'd be a billionaire growing up in New York without the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Tell me what you would do. All right. So anyways, here he is. He's surrounding himself not by a bunch of Muslim Brotherhood people like Barack Hussein Obama did, but he's surrounding himself with evangelical Christians. He's got good people around him. They're praying for him. They happen to love the fact that he's not a politician and he's working against the swamp and he's draining it and he's dealing now with the deep state and all of that stuff. So we're watching the fruit of the man, and you can't deny his actions that he's producing something that really represents the values of the United States of America, the value of life, the value of being a sovereign, independent nation, the value of our own manufacturing, the value, the moral values. Oh, he may be. Well, who hasn't been immoral? Who hasn't sinned? Who's going to throw the first stone? Well, CNN, they throw it every single day. They're throwing stones. These homosexual blasphemers are throwing stones. Mamma mia. Now, I look at Donald Trump, okay, there's the fruit. I get that. So now I look at Joe Biden. I want to know the fruit. Joe's saying, I want to save the soul of America. What's he doing? He's a liar. Bro, he does it when he tells those people in Ukraine, I won't give you the money until you get rid of these officials. I mean, he does it, right? His son's in trouble. They're all covering up. They're all good at this cover up. I hope to God they all get arrested and they get born again in their prison cells. That's what I hope, okay? So anyways, Joe's saying he's an apple tree. But his fruit is as bitter as raw lemons. He wants abortion. He wants homosexuality, transgenderism. He wants open borders. He wants globalism. So don't call yourself an American president. You don't do that. And if you cannot look at the fruit on that tree, but guess what? The God of this world has blinded the minds of the masses. And there is a covering cast over the nations. And if you're truly born again and have the Spirit of God, hopefully you're seeing the truth and the reality. Now, we're coming to the end of August. The end of August. It's now the 21st day. Yeah, it's August 21st. About 9-10 days left. What do we have? And then we get into September. There's two storms brewing out in the ocean. They're coming towards the United States of America. Only God knows what they will be. Doesn't really matter. We've had tons of those, right? September's coming. And from every direction, what we have been forewarned is the tap. Pay attention to September. I'm going to pay attention to September. Are you going to pay attention to September? October. Pay attention. November. Pay attention. We're moving into the phase of this particular phase of judgment that we talked about months ago. An evil comes from where you do not know. A mischief rises. You will not be able to put it off. Sudden destruction comes. Isaiah 47:11. The evil certainly came from where we did not know. The mischief rose. We were not able to put it off. That's 2 for 3, folks. Number 3, sudden disaster. September, October, November. So what does it mean? What are they preparing? What about this vaccination. I don't know what it's about. I honestly don't know. I hear a lot of talk about it. I don't know. 5G towers, are they what's really poisoning? How is our world ready to change right now? What does it mean to you if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who, as others have said, slept her way to her position through having sexual intercourse with people that would give her the job for giving her body to them? That's what she did. That's the truth. Okay? And they probably all do it to some degree. But here's the deal. Kamala Harris, she becomes the first vice president, and her husband is the first man. Joe Biden and Jill, they become the president. Joe has to be pumped up with something to get out of the basement, speak, stay tuned for so long. And you wonder, how long will that take? And with the far left that's right around him, we don't need you, Joe. You are a shell of a man. And if you don't get born again, you're going to do what everybody else does. You're going to go and take a long sleep. Poor Joe. Then somebody else steps in to the presidency. What does America look like when Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, if they are to win, if the dream was true, if they do become the next president, which by every means you would think logically, if you're born again and awake and alive, that's impossible. Nobody would elect Joe Biden to be the president of the United States of America. Nobody would do that. Something else is going on, right? But if the dream is true and if it comes to pass and Joe and Kamal, they win, what does it look like? What about that wall that was separating Mexico and the United States and the arrests being made? What about all this? What about those violent people kicking people in the head when they're on their knees? What are they going to do against the Christians? What kind of a spirit is going to be there? What kind of an atmosphere where, again, the church is going to bow down? The church is going to submit, yield, come under the power of? Folks, you've heard it 1,000 times, is got to be the most critical moment on the face of planet Earth since we've ever been a nation, America. This has got to be. You know, you go back in time and you see battles between who was going to be the king. See, that was Solomon, right? And the battle he had, one side wanted somebody to be a king. The other side wanted him to be the king. David said, Solomon, you're to be the king. So they had this big battle. So they've existed before. But we're not just talking about the soul of a nation. We're talking about a global world power that will rise in complementary fashion to the book of Revelation. Something at a level that we probably have never experienced. We've all talked about a lot of stuff, believe me. But we're experiencing things now. They're manifesting. The things that have been spoken of are manifesting. Now, Joe Biden is not equipped to be any president. Not even of the Boy Scouts. He's not equipped to be a president of anything. Not the neighborhood, anything. Joe Biden needs to go and retire. Needs to go on vacation. He needs to go. He's not the savior of America. And if in his mind he knew I have to run to save, that's self-delusioned narcissism. That is a self-delusioned narcissism that he is so important that he had to come out and run. Why? Because the nation is familiar with Joe. They're not familiar with Cortez and Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. They're not familiar with Bernie Sanders, but they are very familiar with Joe Biden. He's been around for years. So he's the guy They had to get the guy that the American people could resonate with. He's white. He's Joe. He was the vice president of Barack. He's the guy we could relate to. But that's not who they're voting for. Joe, Kamala Harris. Not so familiar with Kamala, but there it is. We're going to come close to what's familiar so the people can say, oh, there's Joe. He's a good guy. He has nothing to do with Joe. Joe should go home. Because what I saw in the dream after he had won the election is that he was in really big trouble because who knows if they're not going to take him out. Who knows? He knows that the end of his life is drawing near. And with what he supports, an abortion, he could talk about God all he wants. He could talk about Jesus. He could talk about spirit. He could quote scriptures all he wants. But his actions betray him because he wants to support what that very God condemns. Liar. Joe is a liar. And he's very evil, easily manipulated. And well, they say nobody's going to mess with Joe. The very people that are saying nobody will mess with Joe are messing with Joe. They're using him. The unusable Joe Biden is being used by them, manipulated by them. Using him, setting him up to bring enemy forces into America to destroy the soul of America. And Joe's just going for the ride. Let's go for the ride. Sorry. You know, it's Friday. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a wonderful feeling. Folks, aren't you glad you're born again? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is your King, your Messiah, that the heavens, the government of Jesus Christ is your government? Aren't you happy about that, seriously? Man, I'm so happy about that. You know what I wish, though? Can I tell you what I wish? Here's my dream. I wish there were something I could do to stop the deception. I know the president of the United States wanted to drain the swamp. He never knew how many monsters were really there and the level of their monstery, right? But don't you wish you could just shout out on a megaphone to the ends of the earth and tell this obvious truth to the whole world, and everybody will wake up and say, hallelujah, thank you for pulling me out of the delusion I was in. I don't think it's going to happen. But if we could wake up one soul, if we could turn one Muslim to Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if we could turn one Buddhist, if we could take one Democrat and show them and that they would shift and say, maybe that's not a good idea. If just one will be worth a lifetime of doing what we do every single day. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the great adventure. I am ready for the adventure as much as I know about me. I am ready for the adventure. I want to be available to God that whatever God could do through a person of dust like myself, I just want him to do it. I just want him to be real. I want him to be powerful. I want him to be piercing. I want him to be wet with the anointing and the golden oil of God. I just want to be effective. I don't want to sit around. And I've seen it, man, and it terrified me when I saw these old people in the church acting like demons. And I'm not talking about the elders in our church because they're not old. They're awesome. I'm talking about people that with the old stuff have no adventure left in them. I'm sorry. Let me get my mind together here. I'm talking about becoming useless. I don't ever want to be useless. I want to be useful. And I don't care if you're 85, 90, 95. My father-in-law, Mr. B., he wanted to be useful at 100 years old. He was still wanting to be useful. to God. What can I do? You know, when president, says my brother Mark. When the imposter, Barack Hussein Obama, went to the office of the presidency, my father-in-law, at 92 years old, was sitting at the counter. He used to drive an Audi A4 convertible, work out at the gym. He wasn't your average 92-year-old. He sat down, and when he saw the face of Barack Obama for the first time and heard his mouth move, he turned around, he pointed at the television, and he said, "Diablo, Mr. B, Diablo." And he said it again. Patricia, my beloved wife, said to her dad, my father-in-law, "Dad, that's not nice." And he said it again, "Diablo." Why won't Barack Obama go away? Why won't he leave? I don't know. I don't know. But listen, I probably have gone way too far for a Friday morning here. I don't know. Or maybe I haven't even begun yet. I'm going to preserve some things. I need to talk to you for a moment. And if my brother Ian is out there listening right now, Ian, I need you to call into the broadcast if you would, and then press one on your dial pad. I need to talk to you about what we're doing in the midst of the insanity. And here's the glory, okay? In the midst of this insanity, God is moving sovereignly. Honestly, he is. And there would be no better thing than to hear Joe Biden confess his sins and repent and everybody else, okay? Okay, but that's not going to happen. Jesus kind of knew that about the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day. You know, he kind of just knew. You guys are serpents, you're snakes, you're scorpions, you're children of the devil. And I really don't have a lot of expectation for you to confess your sin and repent. Maybe one in a thousand, like Nicodemus, okay? But again, Ian, if you are out there right now, I need you to call in so we could talk about what we're doing right now and press one on your dial pad. Amen. There he is right there. So, folks, listen to this. This is super important. Let me take this call coming in right now. Good morning, Ian. How are you doing today, sir?
Good morning, Pastor Vincent. I'm doing very well. Thank you. How are you?
Excellent. I'm doing good. Thank you for calling in. I know there's probably a number of things you could speak into, perhaps, that we've been talking about. That's awesome. And if you do, let's do that first. But I want to talk about what you're doing right now with United Christian Charities and how that you are preparing for what happened in Iowa and for what's ready to happen all over this place. So why don't we begin to say hello to everybody. This is Ian. Ian did radio with me on Kerm Radio, and he's got a great message, and he's spearheading United Christian Charities right now to get some things done. And Ian, why don't you speak into that right now, please?
Good morning, body of Christ. And yes, Pastor Vincent, just to see where politics has gone in the United States over the past 12 years has become very, very disheartening. But again, it's just a sign of the times. And what you were talking about this morning about 5G, I've actually got a lot of information on that. And I've talked to other healthcare professionals, nurses, doctors. I've got friends who are scientists who used to work in the pharmaceutical industry. And for those of us that are paying attention, that's common knowledge that the symptoms of what people are experiencing with the shortness of breath and the coagulation of the blood and the difficulty breathing and everything else is synonymous with radiation poisoning. And if you take constant high doses of radio frequency radiation, it has negative effects on the body, which is why in the about section of your phone, there's actually a disclaimer that talks about how you're not supposed to hold it directly up to your head when you're talking on it. You're constantly supposed to keep a distance between your body and your phone, even when you're carrying it in a case. And there's studies that have been done on brain tumors and everything else. But 5G is exponentially stronger than any 4G LTE product that's out there. So by bringing everybody home, putting them on electronic devices, making kids go to online learning, they're sitting on a tablet all day. We're actually perpetuating the problem, which is why there's been a large number of people who have been quote unquote coming down with coronavirus while they're stuck at home. That being said, United Christian Charities right now is responding to a Category 3 inland hurricane called a derecho that spread all the way across Iowa and caused massive devastation. Initially, I think there were between 250,000 and 500,000 people without power. There's a record number of trees that are down. 10 million acres of crops were devastated. There were so many trees down that there were such a number of road closures that they were having to clear the roads just to get resources and supplies into the state. There's still 133,000 people that are without power. Their refrigerators have gone out. Their food has spoiled. They don't have access to non-perishable items, everyday needs like food and bottled water. There are a shortage of generators in the state of Iowa. There are a shortage of chainsaws in the state of Iowa. And we've got two Category 1 hurricanes that are getting ready to make landfall. I think they actually made landfall in the Gulf 10 hours ago. And these are two storms that are coming in side by side, and they're making an upward curve directly towards the south side of Arkansas. And this is right after this massive storm that came in through Iowa. So United Christian Charities, my desire for this ministry is absolutely to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to fulfill Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. We want to be ready to mobilize when things like this happen, because Matthew 24 tells us that these things are going to become commonplace. And so we need to be ready. But as you know, we've been applying for grant writing, and the grant writers want to see that we can match funding in order to get grant funds. And so what we need is for people to be willing, I mean, pray and see how you're led, but to be willing to help us by supporting this ministry so that we can have the funds, we can have the supplies, and we can have the resources to mobilize when things like this happen. FEMA is still not in Iowa. President Trump has signed a executive order for funding to go to Iowa. But the issue that the homeowners are having is this funding will help to clear trees and do things like this. It doesn't help the farmers whose grain bins have collapsed and whose crops have been devastated, who can't find food and can't find water for their family. It doesn't help the people who can't feed their kids right now. And FEMA has to come out and assess the damage, assess the disaster, and then people are having to go to their insurance companies and get reimbursed for things. But this has been so much devastation. I mean, it's kind of like Joplin, Missouri, on a much larger level, and the news is not giving it the coverage that it needs. So most people who I talk to about this catastrophe, they don't even know it's happened. And there was a day when Americans would have been willing to come together and stand united in the face of a catastrophe like this, and we would have come together for our brothers and sisters in the name of goodness, in the name of Jesus, and we would have been Americans and banded together. But a lot of the people that I'm talking to about this are having the attitude, businesses and individuals are having the attitude of, that's not a local problem, that doesn't affect me. We're dealing with coronavirus here, we're dealing with this, we're dealing with that, my business is struggling. I can't share that message because it'll water things down to my network and then they won't want to look at my posts on social media. These are just conversations that I'm having with individuals on a day-to-day basis. And it's very disheartening to me because I see a lot of people who are really struggling right now. So we've got a church on the ground in Iowa that we're working with. It's Open Bible Church. And I want to thank you very much for that connection. Pastor Harris Hulsapple is an excellent guy. They are feeding people on the ground right now out of their church, and half of their church is devastated without power, but the other half they've been able to get power and internet to. And so they're using what they have, but he's saying that supplies are in shorthand in the state. So my plan and my prayer is that we'll be able to organize enough supplies, enough non-perishable food items, bottled water, generators, batteries, flashlights, extension cords, chainsaws, whatever these people need, and that we'll be able to take a couple of box trucks and drive the supplies up to Iowa, but then also that we're going to be able to prepare simultaneously for the next disaster. Because I remember a prophecy from David Wilkerson, who used to pastor Times Square Church, and now that's passed to Carter Conlon, I believe, who also gives a no-nonsense message, much like you do. But for years, since 1973, 1974, I've been listening to prophecies that these natural disasters would come in and they would hit so hard and so fast that you wouldn't know where one ended and another began. And I really believe that's what we're getting ready to see, Pastor Vincent. And so I just want to be ready during this time for UCC to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Amen. And that was the purpose of creating United Christian Charities, was so that we could be the hands and the feet of Jesus. And I'm so thankful that you are spearheading this 501c3 nonprofit public benefit corporation with a tax-exempt status from the IRS. All the T's are crossed, the I's are dotted, and now it's just about putting legs on it, manifestation. So in the realm of darkness, we see a lot manifesting, but there are things that God is going to do at this time for his glory. And United Christian Charities has been designed by the Father. He put the idea in the heart of my pastor, and when my pastor passed away, I carried the torch, and here we are today to go, and we know Jesus said in the last days there's going to be famines and earthquakes and pestilences. We know that disasters are going to hit all over the country, so the idea is to be prepared to go, to be the hands, the feet of Jesus. Give the blanket, give the food, give the needs necessary, and give counsel, a hug, a smile, a Bible to people that are in need, prayer. This is a very active organization that needs some very real people volunteering their time. And Ian, I'm so glad you're doing this. So the idea right now is to get, what, two 26-foot trucks until we have our own United Christian Charities trucks filled up and to head up to Iowa to distribute. Is that correct? Is that what we're trying to do?
Yeah, and I can speak into that just for a second. U-Storage in Bentonville, Arkansas, whenever I spoke with them, they're a Penske dealer. And because they're a dealer and they have a contract with Penske, they can't give us the trucks for free. But the gentleman that I talked to, what he did was he gave us a massive discount, 79% discount off of two 26-foot box trucks with lift gates. We need $2,000 plus the cost of fuel to take those trucks on a 1,000-mile round trip, basically. That's for the first mission. Now, where UCC is at for us applying for grants, we need matched funding. We need to be able to show individuals that are going to be funding our grants that we can support this charity, that we have individuals that will stand with us, that will give and that believe in what we're doing. That way we can support ourselves independently from grant money funding. And so I am looking for supporters to provide monetary donations. We have a donation page as well as a number where people can donate by text, which is, I believe, 479-9327. UCC 7822, and they can give by phone on that. But Pastor, we need all kinds of donations. I could use a school bus right now if anybody had a school bus that they wanted to donate to the charity. We could use box trucks right now. We could use church vans. We could use tractor trailers. We could use a backhoe and an equipment hauler trailer to be able to go and clear debris for individuals who have been devastated by these catastrophes. And these are going to be needs that are going to come out in the future. So I would just ask if anybody has a prayer on their heart to donate something. It doesn't really matter what it is at this point, whether it's two-way radios or whether God puts it on their heart to donate $20. We're in a position right now where we could use absolutely everything. But for this first mission, we're looking for two 26-foot box trucks with lift gates that we can pack completely full with supplies and take to Iowa to provide immediate emergency relief to families that have had their lives absolutely devastated.
All right. So while you're listening to this right now, I'm going to Ian is an EMT. He's been an EMT. He's had affiliation with FEMA. So I want to talk to him about that. But imagine United Christian Charities, you becoming a part of that and becoming also a volunteer. Maybe you'll be one of those people that are heading up to Iowa to help distribute the things that are necessary. So again, what we are doing in the midst of the crises that's going on all over this world are recognizing the opportunities that are before us so that we're not just dormant, we're not stagnant, we're moving. Patricia and I want to start churches across the country. We have an organization. It's called United Christian Charities. God gave it to us. He put it in our hearts. Ian is spearheading this work right now. He's going to need volunteers. So we as a community could actually gather together, stop depending on the world system, but we could come together. We could be like the house of Joseph, where all the stuff was given in a place of storage to be able to go out and meet needs for the disasters that are here, have been here, and will definitely be here. And maybe there will be a pool of volunteers, which is always part of the vision, that we would have a truck go up to wherever disaster was. We'd have a van with 7 or 8 people in it that would go, and they would show up and help the distribution, pray for people, do what they need to do. And that would be part of their ministry and their calling. So we're moving forward. Right now, the immediate need is what Ian just said, $2,000. Now, right on the screen, I have a donate now to UCC by texting. So you could text the number that's on the screen, 479-932-7822. You could also go to Facebook and just type in United Christian Charities. So if you're already on Facebook, go to United Christian Charities. You're talking to the president of United Christian Charities, Vincent Xavier. You're talking to the operations manager, Ian, for United Christian Charities. And it's within our own congregation that we have a board of directors. And so this is an organization, if you trust our ministry, you could trust this outreach ministry known as United Christian Charities. Get involved with it. Ian, what else do you have?
Well, I just wanted to clarify, Pastor Vincent, I'm not a paramedic anymore because there are requirements to keep that license active, and it was too much for me not doing that job actively to maintain that license. As I've heard other people say, I'll leave that for the young guys, but okay. I've got experience with, I used to be an officer with fire departments. I've been a training officer, training coordinator. I've worked as an incident commander on incidents, and an incident commander who has that kind of experience for disaster relief is more of a delegator. And so I do have that experience for what needs to happen as other people in our ministry do, what needs to happen for medical and so on and so forth. We have the experience within our congregation and within this organization to manage these incidents properly. I used to work as a hazmat technician. I still hold those certifications for hazardous materials. I have that knowledge and training. I have the National Incident Management System, FEMA, Span of Control, Incident Command System training. I've worked in this field for over a decade, and in my history, I've worked for 2 level 1 trauma centers. I've worked for municipal fire departments, volunteer fire departments. I'm a finished grade heavy equipment operator. I know how to run chainsaws. I know how to do all this work. But also, you know, we've got the knowledge, the expertise within our congregation. What we need is the manpower to be able to go out to these disasters and through Span of Control manage and mitigate the disaster management and really take care of this, be ready to mobilize in a split second, because what I'm seeing is everybody has to get stuff together. I want to be able to load up the trucks, and I want to be able to go and have everybody in our facility, everybody in our organization, know exactly what their job is when boots hit the ground. And so that's my prayer right now, and I just thank you for your time, sir.
Oh, absolutely, Ian. And I saw your abilities firsthand when you were helping us do some projects here in town. So I know that this is good. There's somebody out there listening right now. You're probably thinking, you know what? Rather than always just talking about what's going on, here's an opportunity to get involved. So, Ian, if you could, if you were planning when, and I know you were going to say yesterday, but if in your desire, when would you like to be in Iowa to meet with the pastor up there of the Open Bible Church and start doing this first launch mission? What is the time frame?
I'm planning to and praying to deploy in the first week of September. And this thing is all Holy Spirit led. Normally, I would have a lot more pre-planning done for this, but I felt like whenever it happened, I was already looking at the storm. I was looking at the devastation, and then I saw you preach on it, and Holy Spirit put it on my heart just to stop with all the pre-planning for the organization and just move, pray, and move. And so I've started moving forward, and our launch is going to be a mission. And so right now we're trying to launch into a mission. And the way that the Lord has put it on my heart is that we're just going to continue launching and growing, and God is going to provide. So my prayer right now is to be able to deploy, to mobilize with supplies the first week of September, and to have those supplies in Iowa, and then to be able to come back to Northwest Arkansas and regroup, help them with any further needs that they have, and then also deal with the subsequent issues that are happening around the country right now.
So realistically, United Christian Charities, as it goes, as it moves, as God begins to breathe into it and the body of Christ begins to support it, we could be moving across this country simultaneously, like in California with the wildfires or earthquakes or hurricanes or floods, or whatever's going on in the country, which we know is going to be as it has been. There's always opportunity to get out there and serve, and people can get involved. Let me just ask you directly this question. How much money do you need right now to go into United Christian Charities to be ready to go in the first week of September?
For Iowa alone, I've had a strong inclination that we need a bare minimum of $10,000 for the operation.
Okay. So $10,000. Okay.
$10,000. So and I believe that's a start.
Okay. So there's 10 people listening right now that could go to Facebook and give $1,000 to United Christian Charities. They will get a tax write-off if they desire one. The money will go directly to the project in Iowa. And then the other supplies that you're getting, and what United Christian Charities can do is receive the resources and the blessing. So ladies and gentlemen, $10,000. We need to have it within about 10 to 12 days, 14 days, 2 weeks, for Ian to take his first volunteer crew up to Iowa to distribute resources. He's getting a 79% discount on the vehicles, which is awesome. Need money for gas to get out there. Would you be one of those individuals that would sow $1,000 into United Christian Charities and to launch, be a partner to launch this first mission out there? You could do that by going to Facebook, United Christian Charities, and there'll be, I guess, an easy way to give online, correct?
Yes, there is a online donation page, and that's through Kindred Giving. It's with our Ministry One app for New Wine Ministry Global. And that is on the United Christian Charities Facebook page. So if people just scroll through the posts that we put up, I've made sure that those links are in there. And there's an initial posting that has about 26 pictures of the devastation in Iowa. It's got our updated list of needs for Iowa, and then at the very bottom, it's got how people can donate. And I also wanted to say, just for everybody that's listening, please take a moment and say a prayer for Mercy and Joplin, because there's not many people in this country that haven't heard about how Joplin was devastated by their tornado. But I spoke with one of the managers at Joplin, one of their head individuals, and he called me the other day and said that they want to help. So by the end of next week, I'm also looking for a truck, either a box truck or a truck and trailer. God has also put it on my heart that maybe somebody has a one-ton truck with a long box trailer for us to use to haul supplies. But I've got to find a way to get the supplies from Mercy and Joplin back to Northwest Arkansas so that we can organize, we can categorize and inventory everything, and then take it to Iowa. But Mercy has said that they're going to come on board and they're going to help us. Their administration is sharing an email from a contact that I have within the Mercy Foundation, and they've just been so awesome. Normally this situation in Iowa would be front page news, but right now with everything that's going on, the people in Iowa have expressed a feeling like nobody's coming. And so we need to band together. We need to stand united in this time for our brothers and sisters. This is an incredible opportunity to share the love of Christ.
Amen. Ian, so as the operations manager for United Christian Charities, if somebody wants to contact you directly, how do they do that? Is that available on the website?
It is not. Right now, I'm still in the process of getting the website up and running, dealing with domain name servers and everything else. The best way to contact me would be to either call and leave a message on my work line for Nuclear Health and Fitness in Bentonville, which is, I've opened my business up as a donation location for supplies, and that number is area code 501-500-1663. And I would ask, if somebody is wanting to get in touch with me and they need me to call them back, text your contact information to that number, 501-500-1663, and let me know who you are with your contact information, and then I'll get in touch with you.
Okay, and that number again, 501-500-1663, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's up on the screen right now. We're going to put the number there if you want to contact Ian. You dial that number, 501-500-1663. So let's kind of put this in a nutshell right now. We have a world that's going into insanity, and it's strong and it's real. We, the body of Christ, are the nugget right in the center of this thing, the golden thread throughout the nations of the earth. Every one of us who are called by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ have a work to do in proclaiming the gospel, starting churches, encouraging the saints, and also taking care of the needs. These works have been prayed through. They are here. They just are awaiting your involvement. It cannot be done by just a few people. This will require the body of Christ coming together to work. Ian will be your contact person. You give that call right there, 501-500-1663. Get involved as much as you desire to do so right now in immediate need of $10,000. Now, because we're a small body of believers right now around, and we're kind of spread out here, we have a lot of work we're doing. Not only United Christian Charities, we're preparing for the Feast of Tabernacles. And ladies and gentlemen, we just have a lot to do. And if everybody will do something, I believe we're going to be okay. So, Ian, anything else before you get running today?
No, thank you for your time, Pastor Vincent.
All right. Well, I hope that helps, and I hope people really respond. And thank you so much. And I'm going to go ahead and take another call here in just a moment. Ian, God bless you, my friend. We'll talk to you real soon. Let's go to a phone call waiting to come in right now, 479-321. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Hello, 321, you're on the air. Okay, we're going to miss that call right now. So United Christian Charities, it was a vision my pastor, R. Paul Carroll, had way back in the 1980s. He passed away in 1991. A few years later, I was on a 13-day water fast. God gave me a download about United Christian Charities. I brought it back to life, and it is here today after 25 years under my care. It's here today. It's established. It's ready to go, It just needs to be manifested and it needs to go. Ian has stepped in and just a spearhead right now to move forward this organization called United Christian Charities. You can be a part of that. You could get involved with that. Right now, it needs to be supplied. There needs to be a godly supply to a 501c3 nonprofit public benefit corporation, United Christian Charities. You could have the tax write-off. It's all ready to go, legally formed and ready to go to the nation wherever the trouble is. But it needs your undergirding and it needs to be upstarted by you. That's how it's going to work. And together, we can make United Christian Charities an available resource to our nation when things go south, as we've been watching them do for years. Would to God we have been ready to go 20 years ago. My God, but we're never too late. There's an 11th hour people that will get the same reward of those that labored all day long. We are an 11th hour organization, United Christian Charities, with a willing heart right now. And you can hear that fire in Ian. There's a willingness to move out. So please fuel that fire. Just bring your donations. Go to Facebook. Go to United Christian Charities. Bless that work. It will go directly to that labor in Iowa. And then hopefully we'll start getting a lot of donations and the things that are needed to keep working. Man, I want to be working. I want to get in the adventure. I want to be a part of a movement, not just sitting back listening to things. I want to get involved. Well, here's an opportunity to get involved with a Christian organization. The pastor, you know, the president, you know, that's me. You know who we are. And we're ready to go. And we're surrounded by some really awesome people that are ready to do the work. So we'll see what God does. It's going to happen the way that God wants it to happen. But I pray that you will pray for United Christian Charities. You'll supply it. You'll support it. You'll get involved with it. Say, I'm available. If you need somebody to go to Iowa, I'm here. And let's see what happens. That's the best we could do. Also, the Feast of Tabernacles, October 2nd. We're getting down to about a month and 10 days, about 40 days away. We're coming to the Feast of Tabernacles. We're preparing for the Feast of Tabernacles. Pastor David Obenauer, Pastor Victoria Obenauer will be here from South Dakota. Pastor Kevin Honeycutt will be here from Tennessee. There are pastors within. There are some others that we're waiting to hear. Daniel Seckham may be coming from Australia. We're waiting to hear. But we are preparing right now for that. We are preparing to be a host ministry to the body of Christ. We're inviting our friends from Iowa, Minnesota, and to Colorado, California, Northwest Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas. We're getting ready, and we want to have the celebration of a lifetime, a very strategic Feast of Tabernacles gathering together, an appointed time in the economy of God for God's people, a strategic gathering for these times that we're in. I just can't imagine that God will not honor those who honor him. So again, make that your business. This is kingdom business, okay? The Feast of Tabernacles. You don't know what it is, you'll never leave the same. October 2nd through October 9th, there are hotels everywhere in Northwest Arkansas. The one I recommend is the Wingate because it's very close to where the feast is going to be, $55 to $60 a night. So you may consider that. There are rooms for tents. There are rooms for RV if you want to bring your RV. There's room, okay? But the whole idea is when you get here, get settled in, is the fellowship that God has called forth, a desire of the Father's heart for his people to gather together, and then the supply of spiritual food, the ministry of the Holy Spirit through sanctified vessels is going to go forth. And God always takes over. It's an amazing thing what he does, but we're also going to be supplying meals. We're going to have breakfasts in the morning, Monday through Friday. We're going to have lunches every day, Monday through Friday. We'll be gathering together. There will be worship. There will be all kinds of impartation, and it's all committed to the Holy Spirit. This is something you want to be a part of. If you're following this ministry, you will not be disappointed. Make it a point to be there October 2nd through the 9th. And we'll ask God to bless you richly. All right, so that's what we're doing. It's 10:14. I don't see any other calls coming in. I see a lot of folks out there. Let's just say hello to our friends out here in the Facebook. And I see Jim Miller out there. Good morning, Jim. I see Cindy. God bless you, Cindy. We just talked to Ian. Lena Gravina, God bless you, Lena. Thanks for joining into the broadcast today. Seeing Misty from Alaska. God bless you, Misty. Vic Sitz, I want to thank you, Vic, for joining us. Spoke the other day. Yeah, what is this, babe? Okay, gotcha. Very good. Some bill money. So I want to say again to our friend Sonia. Good morning, Sonia. God bless you. Appreciate you. I can't wait to see all of you again very soon. Lisa Fitzner. Good morning, Lisa. Thank you. Melanie Hall. Welcome to the broadcast, Melanie. And let's see, where else are we here? Let's see. Wendy Bredesen. Welcome, Wendy. God bless you. I hope that the ministry is a blessing. Lisa, there you are again. Praise God. And we go on down the list. And great comments. You guys are just filling this up with the greatest comments. I see Kevin Hauger's out there today. God bless you, Kevin. Thanks for all you do to make this happy and happening. You do so much, my friend. Thank you. God bless you. Marissa Atterbury is with us today. Sean Woodson from Ohio is with us today. Good morning, Sean. And good morning, Marissa. Donna Frazier has joined us. God bless you and happy birthday. I didn't get to say it the other day, Donna, happy birthday to you. God bless your heart. I pray and trust that you had a great celebration of your life. I see Jesse is out there today. Jernigan, God bless you, Jesse. Thanks for weighing in on the broadcast today. So to all of our friends out there, you heard a lot today, okay? You heard a lot, and it's Friday, and I wish you the greatest weekend. We're going to get ready for our Shabbat. We have an incredible day tomorrow. Ian, who you just heard, and his beloved wife, Laura, who've been married 4 years, are renewing their vows tomorrow. They're bringing the witnesses of the Spirit and the kingdom of God to celebrate their wedding here at New Wine Ministries. So we're going to have a wedding tomorrow at 4 o'clock. We have our Sunday or our Saturday evening service at 5:30. That's going to work together, complimentary. God is good. And we will be gathering together Sunday at 2 o'clock. You can find us on Facebook. If you want to come in Saturday, 5:30 for our service in the evening, we call that our Shabbat service. And then Sunday at 2 p.m., you can find us on Facebook, all under Omega Radio Network or on YouTube. All you have to do is look for us on YouTube at New Wine Ministry TV. The way you do that, by the way, just simply go to our website. Our website tells everything about what we're doing, including the Feast of Tabernacles, and that is nwmglobal.org. We're not used to giving out so much information, but this is necessary right now. It's a connection. NWM Global stands for New Wine Ministry Global.org. You'll find everything on the Feast of Tabernacles. You'll find out our service times, our meetings. You could also click on the Facebook tab on our homepage or YouTube and find us anywhere on the internet. And again, this is our launching time. This is the moment that we have been preparing for. We're ready to go and start churches across this country. We have friends in Tyler. We have friends in South Dakota. We've already met. We need to have another date, so to speak. I really think that is necessary to do. So we're doing this work. You see United Christian Charities. We're ready to go. We have pastors that are being raised up in New Wine Ministry that are ready to be sent. They're ready to get launched into their ministry and calling as well. So we have a lot of work to do. And please remember this ministry. Please support this work. We're not asking for much. Just please continue to support this ministry, the Omega Radio Network, Omega Radio. We're broadcasting on omegaradio.org 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. We're broadcasting on YouTube. We're broadcasting on Facebook. Simultaneously, 4 platforms to get the word out. Please support the ministry as God puts in your heart to do. Having said all of that, I've got calls coming in everywhere. Are these all these calls coming in? Let me see where this is. It looks like a renewed call. 479-418, are you having a question or comment?
Yes, Pastor Benson. This is Ian.
Hello, Ian.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you, praise God, I got a phone call. And whenever I spoke about needing a bus, Sam said that Holy Spirit put it on his heart to donate his bus to UCC because he's been praying about what to do with it. It's an older bus. It's been converted, partially converted as an RV, but I just wanted to let you know that the Lord is already moving. So pray God and bless his heart.
And you get ready for your wedding day tomorrow, huh? Please, you and Laura, have a super blessed day in your preparations. Holy, solemn moment of exchanging vows to solidify what you guys have already done in general.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you for that great report. God bless you, too. Sam, thank you. Donating a bus just like that. See, that's how it works. No grass under his feet. Let's try this call one more time. 479-321. Are you on the air? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Phil. How are you, sir?
Good. Really good. In a little bit of a unrelated thing, I just wanted to say that God was showing me something this morning about 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Yes.
I look at that in the American Standard Version. It says, God has not given us spirit of fearfulness, but of power and of love and discipline. And the Passion Translation says, for God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. And I looked up that number of sound mind. It does mean self-control. And then, you know, sound mind also, but it's just really expanding my mind. On Ian has helped me, for example, with a number of things physically with his treatment. But this is really self-control, and the discipline of a sound mind is really on my heart today. So I just thought I'd mention that. I hope I'm making sense.
Oh, I love it. You're talking about a disciplined mind rather than thoughts just running rampant. You're actually talking about bringing every thought into captivity, and God gives us the power to do that through the Holy Spirit. Absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
Well said.
Absolutely.
Elder Phil.
Yeah. Sound mind is all of those things.
Amen. Man, it brings peace, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. All right, Elder peace. Phil, God bless you.
Peace that passes understanding. Have a good day.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. You have a blessed day too, Phil. Appreciate that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to flash a few things up on the screen right now for you if you're watching Facebook or anything. Let me just give you this again. Remember, you could donate to United Christian Charities by texting 479-932-7822. That's on the screen right now. Also on Facebook, go to United Christian Charities. We have storms that are brewing out at sea. We have an insane DNC and just sorcery like crazy going on. Keep your head in the heavens. And remember, somebody may say to you, well, if 5G towers are poisoning everybody and I don't feel any effects, listen, are you under a blood covenant of divine protection or not? If you are, you wouldn't feel it, would you? Because God is supernaturally protecting your immune system. Can God do that for you? I believe he can. Don't live in fear. Walk under the covenantal promises. And we have better covenant, better promises than even Psalm 91 through Jesus Christ our Lord. They will drink anything deadly. It will not harm them. Nothing by any means shall harm you if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him, honor him, bless him, worship him, praise him, thank him, love Papa, skip forth like the calf, live an abundant life, get involved, and yet be very watchful, be very sober. We're not talking about being giddy and irresponsible. Walk in the Spirit, get the fruit of the Spirit operating in our lives, and have a super blessed day. I'm Pastor Vince. I'll be back Tuesday, Lord willing, right here on Omega Radio. Right now, there is an Omega Radio broadcast, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights with Patricia Joy Xavier leading the way. You could get there, and please tell people about Omega Radio. It's up there.